Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock, and welcome to my lifestyle podcast, Live Without a Net. The podcast showcases people who live fearlessly and have the ambition to create something. I'll showcase change makers who have decided to let go of their safety net in order to survive. So let's jump right in. Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock. Welcome to Live Without a Net. Today, I have an awesome guest. I met her at an event in December, and now here we are. She's Mimi Brown, 105.3 WDAS Philly's best R&B and throwbacks. Welcome to the show, Mimi.
Well, hi, Jen. How are you? Just a pleasure to see you again.
I know. I loved meeting you. I loved meeting and learning so much about you, and your energy was contagious. So I'm happy to have you on. And I just want to tell people, look, where you come from, what your story is. I know you were born and raised in West Philadelphia, and you started at the age of 14.
At 14, I was in a recording studio and offered a chance to be at a recording studio to really play the music that was in my head, writing music, and that was called Society Hill Sound. Mike Nice, who had a show called Dancing on Air, didn't have that show at that time, was the runner of that studio. He heard my music and he wanted me to come in there and just write whatever I was feeling. So I was writing songs like a Carole King, what Alicia Keys probably would be writing now. I was Alicia Keys of the 70s. And that kind of music for a person of color was not considered to be popular because you would consider it folk music or you would consider it rock or hard rock and roll. And it wasn't considered to be popular for a person of color, but I was doing it. And I got a chance to meet a lot of really great individuals in the music business, those from Philadelphia International Records. I got a chance to work with them, and because they would come in and they would need melodies for their songs. So I was writing melodies for their songs that they could turn in to Mr. Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff at Philadelphia International Records.
So take us back, paint a picture. When you're 14, are you just walking in your neighborhood and you're meeting people that are leading you to this recording studio? Like, how does that happen?
Well, actually, I started playing the piano about 7 years old, and I just couldn't stop, you know, in between playing, you know, baby Mozart and baby Chopin. I was playing music on my own, writing these songs. And when I would go to school, and then I just self-taught myself to play guitar. And while I go to school, I would play these songs. And then I heard about a recording studio because I went downtown a lot. Downtown was a place to be, like Samson Street. It was called Samson Village at the time. And I was always down there. And that's where I got a chance to meet a lot of people that were music people. And I got a chance to meet Mike Nice. And he said, I have a recording studio. Come on down. And, you know, it doesn't cost you anything. So I don't have any money. He said, it doesn't cost you anything. Come on down and you can play. And I got a chance just to go there after school. I would stay there until about 7 o'clock and head on home. And that's what I would do on a regular basis.
And then you were telling me at the age of 15, you were in a commercial.
Yeah. So when I was in the studio at Society Hill Sound, it was Dr. Perry Johnson and Sonny Hobson, very prominent DJs at that time. They were in there. They needed a female to be on their commercial because they were advertising a club that they were going to be at. And so I happened to be the only female there, and they trained me to talk on the commercial. And that's what I did. And that commercial I heard for about a year. And so after a year, I went to that radio station, stopped Dr. Perry Johnson when he got off, and I said, you owe me money. And he said, how much money? I said, $500, which was a lot of money at that time. You've been playing my commercial for a year. He said, I'll tell you what, I got something for you. Come to 20th and the Parkway, meet me there. Can you get there tonight? And I said, yes, I can get there. So my friend at the time drove me down, which happened to be Kobe Bryant's uncle, who drove me down to a club that was soon be called the Astro Disc at 20th and the Parkway. I was trained there along with a lot of other girls, kept training, and I finally got selected to be that female that would be the first female DJ that I know of in the world.
That is so, so cool.
Club DJ. Let me make that clear. Club DJ, spinning, mixing, turntables, doing the whole nine.
My gosh, because that is so rare because we didn't start seeing females doing that until I would say like, I don't know, 10 to 15 years ago.
Yes, and but I was really the first that I know of, because he was the first to have the concept of having female DJs, and I was the one that came on before Dr. Perry Johnson came on, and this club held like close to 2,000 people, and it was open to any age from 14 up because they served no alcohol, so it was all about the music. You would get, you know, artists that come in from out of town, whether it's Roy Ayers or Cameo or and all the artists that work from Philadelphia International Records, Teddy Pendergrass, and, you know, you would just get everybody just came through there because it was the spot to be to hear the latest music. And I got a chance to spin right before Dr. Perry Johnson came on.
And I'm sure you saw a lot of celebrities and athletes at the time.
Oh, tons of celebrities and athletes. Grover Washington Jr., the athletes that were in town at the time that would come in to play, whether it be on a football team or baseball team or basketball team, they would come through. There were quite a few that came in. And then we had artists that performed all the time. So we had regular artists that performed. So you would have live bands as well as dancing until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
I wish we had that now. How long does the club last?
Oh, for a long time. It lasts for a long time. That building is now considered like a historical building. They redid it, and it's absolutely gorgeous. Actually, I believe it was the first what they call bomb center, you know, is that because the building, the structure of the building is pretty immaculate.
Wow. Mm-hmm. From there, you did that from what age, would you say?
I started in the clubs. I guess I was about 16. And then I stayed in the clubs, into my 20s. So I went to school. I went to community college. After high school, I went to community college. I also worked at the probation department at 1801 Vine. And I did the clubs on the weekends. And then I went to Temple and I still was working at the club. And then we also broadcast live from the club on a station called WIBF. So we broadcast live from there as well. And we had a TV show there.
Wow, do you have any videos or photos from that time?
I do, but they're being put together to be presented sometime this year.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too as well. Yes.
Rare. And then tell us how you got into radio and becoming
Radio started at WIBF, which was a radio station where you could buy time. So at the Astrodisc, they would buy time and we would broadcast live there. And then from there, I got offered, it started at community college. It went as far as the lunchroom. And so the guys never wanted me to go on. They said, no women on the radio. Plus, you work at the club. You're already doing something. And I remember a friend of mine, his name was Kimo, and he ended up working for Action News as a cameraman later on. He said, you come on in and you play, I'm going outside. And he said, I'm going to lock the door so the guys won't take you out of here. And he would lock me in there. And it only went as far as the lunchroom, but there you go. I was at community college playing music. It was hard rock and roll inside the lunchroom, you know, of community college. And from there, we also worked at WIBF, where we broadcast live from the Astrodisc. And then I started getting offers for jobs, one for Tampa, a radio station. Then a job came up for WYSP, and I ended up taking the job at WYSP and played rock and roll for 2 years and then been at DAS ever since.
So how many years at DAS?
Over 50.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Did they honor you for that?
Yes, they did.
That's good. So as long as...
Yes, they did several times.
Okay.
I had a big birthday. I had a big birthday party and 50-year anniversary celebration last year in 2025. And then they honored me in 2025 and 2024. So it's been a little bit over 50 years that I've been in the business. I just capped it off at 50.
So how would you say the business has changed?
Oh, the business will constantly change. And that's one thing that we have to realize. The only thing changeless is change. Be open for new opportunities, expect things to change, and be able to adjust to what's coming through and what's new.
And do you like seeing all the changes, or in some ways, do you miss the way things were in the olden days?
No, I don't. I like the new changes. I think it's very comfortable and it makes it more accessible for you to be user friendly, you know, to you to communicate with more people, for you to also to be able to do your shows effectively and perfectly if you want, because you can record sometimes. You don't always have to be live. It eliminates mistakes and allows for perfection. And that part I really like.
Yeah. Explain the feelings you have when you're on air. Is it still that same excitement that you have when you were 15?
Yes, it is. Actually, if you don't, I'm always nervous when I get on the radio until actually I talk for a little bit. But I think the nervousness is because you care. If you don't have a little bit of nervousness, then maybe you just don't care. The nerves come from wanting to do the best job you possibly can. And then once your mouth opens, or if you're a singer, once you start singing, and then it just all comes as part of naturally. It comes naturally is because that's what you do.
What do you think makes a good DJ? Is it personality? Is it caring about people? Is it knowing certain music?
I think that it's more about you have to care about yourself. I think that you have to care about people. You have to love music. You love what you do. And then you have to, you will project what it is that you are on the radio. People can feel it. They'll be able to hear it. And that is undeniable. It's just like talking to a friend. When I talk to a friend like I'm talking to you, it's the way that I talk to you. And it's the me telling you, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, today is going to be a beautiful day. And that's what I mean. And those are my intentions. And you can tell when somebody is not being authentic.
Yeah, I agree. I think you can always tell.
Yeah.
So in terms of entrepreneurship, you started young, you kind of were just on the streets talking to people. You were obviously very charismatic and personable.
Yes.
What made you kind of just want to take that plunge and follow your heart? Did your parents always want you to follow that path, or did they think you were going on the wrong path?
Well, they definitely thought that I was going on the wrong path, but they allowed me. They really didn't know what path I was going on. Neither did I. Let's start that one off, because I didn't know. I just knew that music was inside of me and that I wanted to continue this journey of understanding where it was going to lead. I knew that it was a part of me. It started with poetry, you know, and not just music. And it was about poetry and music and writing and when I would finish my studies, and then I would start writing, you know, sonnets and plays and all kinds of things like that. So I couldn't stop the writing. I couldn't stop the words. I couldn't stop going downstairs to the piano. And it might be 11 o'clock at night. My mother said, "What are you playing? Those aren't your lessons. That's not Mozart. That's not what you're supposed to be practicing." And I said, "I just had to play this for a while because it was in my head." So when you're really passionate about something, it never leaves you. And so that was my driving force, my passion. Where is the music? I knew that Samson Village was the music. It was the place where musicians would go, and they would have clubs, but the club people would be out during the day and I get a chance to see them. I was going to Friend Select at 17th and the Parkway, so I could just walk downtown. Downtown was like my joint, you know what I'm saying? So I walk downtown, and then I go back to school, and then I started going to the recording studio. But when you have something that you're really, really passionate about, it won't leave you. Allow it to grow, and then you start training it so that it can be what you need it to be.
Speaking of training, do you mentor a lot of folks or young folks that come in maybe as interns or to ask you questions? I'm sure you get asked questions all the time.
Yeah, I've had interns since the beginning of my career, when my career started at WDAS. So there has been so many that I've trained, and I trained them to be very successful. And they all, as far as I know, are very successful. Some I call my kids. I had a rap show. It was called the Rap Digest. And when I had that show, I had a group that I called the Rap Digest Posse, but they were like, you know, children to me. I was so blessed that their parents lent them to me. So they are all have been in the business and continue to be and are extremely successful. And others are successful in other areas, whether they're lawyers or whether they work for in the hotel industry. They're all successful and they're on their grind.
That's good to know. Mm-hmm. And what's a day in the life look like for you?
Like today or then?
Not both. Let's compare.
This day in life is very busy as well. It's always been busy. Things come up unexpectedly, and your calendar is full, and mine is full as well. So you try to plan in advance. And I have a father who's now 99 years old. And so my sister and I and brother-in-law take good care of him. And so that has to be included in my day as well as my week, you know, that he is, number one. And when it comes to caring for someone, I had to put him first and put myself second. When I was younger, it was about the work ethic and learning my skills and practicing, and to the point where I felt like my hands or my legs would just like buckle, and my hands would just like were so sore. I kept practicing and practicing and practicing. And a lot of times I didn't have equipment. So a lot of times I practice and mixed without headphones. I was able to put my ear to the record, hear the beginning of the record, and mix it with the next one. And I was able to mix without headphones. And so, you know, so I was dealing with different kinds of circumstances then. I remember working my work ethic to be the best that I could be would be an average of, 6 to 8 hours of practice. You got to put in the time in order to get the result. If you're not willing to put in the time, just don't do it.
Do you think there's a lot of people out there today that are want to become entrepreneurs, but without putting in that time and putting in the effort?
Well, I think there's always going to be people who don't put in the effort, don't put in the time. But those that do, you see the results, because you can't stop. When it's something that you love or you have a dream or aspiration, you can't stop. You can't stop the music for me. You can't stop. I could be away from it and music will still be a major part of my life. I can't stop that. It's the gift that has been given to me, and it's the gift for me to share.
Do you have a favorite song?
No.
Too many, right?
No, I don't, because my music is so eclectic, you know. So I there is no favorite. There's so many that I love and adore. It could be jazz. It could be gospel. It could be R&B. It could be hip hop. It doesn't matter, you know. A quality is quality, and it could be hard rock. Well, I do love some Jimi Hendrix now, and it doesn't matter, as long as it's good. It's got quality. And it touches my soul, you know, there is no one song.
Has AI changed your industry yet, or is it evolving now and going forward?
Well, with iHeartRadio, we are not AI generated, you know, so we're human. We Uh-oh. Are human generated. And that is the label on iHeartRadio. So, you know, the music is not AI, nor are the voices AI. You know, so I'm really happy about that, you know, because we get an opportunity to hear real artists, allow the real artists in order to get paid, allow the real DJs in order to get paid, and have an opportunity to hear what's going on a daily basis without it being generated by AI.
That's good to know, because I think you'll always need that human touch. Like, people want to relate to someone. They don't just want to listen to someone.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
I get that. And then in terms of the artists, because you mentioned you interviewed and met a lot of exciting ones. Do you have any upcoming artists coming on that we could talk about or preview?
Nothing new, but I've interviewed everybody you could possibly name, whether it be never interviewed Prince, but I was the first to bring in Prince into this area, the tri-state area. I brought Prince into a club called Emerald City, and that was in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and he performed live there. I don't have any pictures of that, but he performed live there. I was the first to bring in Prince. And so interviews are, anybody you can name: Whitney Houston, Stephanie Mills, Michael Jackson, the Jacksons, Queen Latifah, Will Smith. I'm in Will Smith's book as the first to play his record. There's quite a few people that I've interviewed over the years. Alexander O'Neill, Mars Day, Sheila E., Big Daddy Kane, and the list goes on and on and on. You can understand how many. And I'm on the album Teddy Pendergrass Live Coast to Coast. I was the first one to interview Teddy Pendergrass on an album or anywhere in the history of his career. He never took interviews, but it's an interview that's on the album Live Coast to Coast, and first person to ever interview him.
That's unbelievable. I know you also mentioned LL Cool J.
LL Cool J was a main staple because I also worked at a club when I got on radio called After Midnight. It was the first hip hop club and the biggest hip hop club in the history of hip hop. And it also opened the doors for so many artists. So when you talk about KRS-One, I interviewed KRS-One, Scott LaRock, the lit MC Light. It goes on and on and on. And these artists also came to the club where I hosted. And so that was on Cherry Street and 13th and Cherry. And so, so there were a lot of artists that came there. And I mean, the list is just endless. It really is.
Can you take us through the process of, like, when you said you were the very first person to play Will Smith's album, does that mean like you met him somewhere and then he said, play the record?
No, it usually comes through the record company or a promotion person comes through, or the one who is the directive or a manager for Will Smith asks you, do you like it? And then they bring the record in there. And if I like it, I had the opportunity to play it. And he just had some really, really good stuff. And I could pick out a hit at the drop of a dime. And so that gave me an opportunity to interview Will Smith. DJ Jazzy Jeff played in the studio. We had a mixing studio, so they would mix, and then Will Smith would come in, and he was also my co-host for a short period of time on the Rap Digest.
That's awesome. When was that, the Rap Digest?
The Rap Digest was in the late 80s.
Okay, I love the 80s.
Yes.
So any other life advice, or do you have any other goals, I guess, in 2026, since it's a new year, do you have any goals that you'd like to accomplish this year?
Well, I would like to, continue on doing what it is that I'm doing, but also include some things for the betterment of self. And so it's like, okay, let me work on self. Let me make sure that my dad is taken care of. Those are major priorities when it comes to the business, to stay on top of things, to be aware and to be conscientious and kind, and to keep my work ethic up. Even though I'm busy with my dad, I'm still busy with the radio station and the community. And it's important that I do what I need to do for the community with the organizations that I work with, whether it be Soldier of Love Foundation, which deals with intimate partner violence and domestic violence, and also NAACP, work with these organizations. And whenever my council people need me, then I want to be available for them as well. It's important that we work together for a better understanding of what is community, and let us be able to come together and work together to make this a better place each and every day.
Love that. Then what do you think makes someone great, or how would you describe greatness in someone?
Greatness is usually established by other people and not so much thyself. Somebody else will think that you're great. I don't know if Prince thought that he was great at first. You see what I'm saying? He was on what I call a creative journey that doesn't really allow you to really look at yourself. You're not there yet. The moment you think you're there is, I think, when you drop off, really. You always are striving for more. You're open for more. You never give up on learning, because therefore, if you think you're great, then therefore you didn't. Where is the learning curve? You stop learning. You have ended it. I think that, you know, greatness is people will say that you're great, but as we as artists continue to search for more, continue to go out to learn more, continue to look for new things and new artists and new music, and also continue to grow, it's important that we continue to grow.
Absolutely. And can people call into you and talk to you?
Well, they can. Yeah, they can. But I don't always go to the phones. And so social media makes it a lot easier because you can go on Instagram and you can go on Facebook and you can go on X and you'll be able to communicate that way. So if I do shout outs, a lot of my shout outs come from there because it's just user friendly and people can say what they need to say. And I can be focused on the job at hand and have a list of names of people need to shout out to, whether it's birthdays or whatever, or ask questions, they can always DM me and ask the question, and then I can answer it that way. Like someone asked me, because I'm also a licensed esthetician, so someone asked me recently about a makeup tip, and I did that, you know, and so I was able to do that, you know, just through a DM.
Yeah, I forgot about that. So yeah, your social media is amazing. I mean, that day I was like, you're a great publicist as well. You were just didn't miss a beat with any of the photos or videos you were taking.
Oh, but thank you.
Forget that you did tell me that you were an esthetician. So yeah. Beautiful. How did that come about? That's a story in itself.
Oh, yeah, because I always loved makeup. I've been playing with makeup since I was a baby. And they had a name for me because I would get into my mother's lipstick and I always put it on, but I put it on wrong. It would be all over my face. And my father even did a painting of it. He's an artist. You know, he paints with oils and canvas. At least he used to. He stopped when my mother passed. But and they had a name for me and I would play with makeup. I would do my mom's hair, put on her makeup. I would wax her eyebrows. I would do all that kind of stuff. So one day she said, why don't you just go to school? I said, go to school for what? She said, you can become an esthetician. I said, well, what is that going to do me? I don't want to do hair. She said, no, that's a cosmetologist. I said, oh, okay. So esthetician of what? Said, look it up. So I looked it up. It's skincare specialist. And so I went to Jean Madeline Levada Institute and went to school.
I love that. And did you ever work anywhere for it or just kind of do
it? Yeah, I worked for myself for a while inside of a salon. And I found that to be really exciting and fun. I met some really great people. But I kind of wanted to be a little bit more stable because at that point, my mother was starting to get sick and I really needed the time to spend with her. And then when she passed, then my father needed to attend to. So I couldn't really hold down what is called my own business. You know, you have to be committed. And that's one thing I want people to know. Be committed in whatever you decide to do. And so I decided, you know, to work. I'm working at a location now. And I've been doing that for about 10 years. And so, yeah, 10 years. And I just today, at this point, I just do two days out of the week. I was doing six. And now I'm doing 2 days out of the week, which is enough for me because it allows me the freedom to do what I need to do for WDAS and also the freedom to take care of my dad.
Can you tell us the secrets? Because your skin is beautiful. Any secrets?
Yeah, you got to be careful what you eat. And I went to a homeopathic doctor because I would eat certain foods and I would break out and I would notice it like it might take 1 day, it could take 5 minutes, it could take 15, or it could take several days and I would have a breakout. So I found out that I was allergic to a lot of things, gluten, nightshades, which are, you know, eggplant and tomatoes. That means no spaghetti sauce and that means I can't have spaghetti either, and even bread. The only bread I can eat is sourdough. Now, if I eat something other than that, I have to be willing to pay the price, which means my skin will break out or flare up. You know, yesterday I had a donut. I'm paying for that right now. You know, a munchkin.
Little munchkin.
The little small little donuts around like that. I had I had that. I was like, oh my God, because if you don't have it for a while, then you taste it, your taste buds go, wow, this is delicious. But I really learned to substitute a lot of foods for other foods that are healthy, you know? So, you know, sweet potatoes, I can eat that, and butternut squash, and I can have green beans and really nice salads, and, you know, without the tomatoes and without the cucumbers, you know? So you just supplement, you just learn to make the adjustments. So the main thing is change your diet, take a look at your diet, and also drink lots of water, which is very important. And make sure you have a good vitamin regimen. If you go to any doctor or even a homeopathic doctor like I did, it recommended certain vitamins that I should include in my diet in order to be healthier.
Now, is that a separate account for you on Instagram? If people wanted to try to book with you or get advice?
No, they can just ask me for advice. I just, you know, I actually just started posting something up the other day about, you know, I just put on lipstick. I was talking about the lipstick, like lip plumper lipstick. And then I put it on. Then I said, ah.
It stung.
I know, it burns. Right? It burns. And somebody inboxed me and said, don't use that, throw it away. It's not supposed to burn. I said, it is supposed to burn. But, you know, I just like trying different things, you know, so I'll try different things. So I haven't made a separate page for that, but I did include me putting on different lipsticks and the lip liner and then some lipstick on top, you know, and I'm not a makeup artist, but I just wanted to let people know that I was a licensed esthetician as well.
Yeah, your makeup is very pretty.
Thank you.
So Mimi, how can people reach out to you? I know you said social media. Do you want to say your handles or your website or when your show airs, just so everyone's in the loop?
Okay, my show airs on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday at 6 p.m. until 2 a.m. is called the Live Saturday Night Experience. Starts at 6 p.m. with DJ Doc B, the Hip Hop House Party until 9. And 9 p.m. until midnight, it's DJ Fat Cat and DJ Wax Spinner until midnight with the Best in Your Throwbacks. Midnight until 2 a.m., it is the Maestro Steve Mason with House and Club Music until 2 a.m. On Sunday, I have a show called The Comfort Zone, which is a focus on great music and me saying things of inspiration across the show, and hopefully my voice and the music will just give you a really calming break day. I think that everybody needs a break. We don't always take the breaks that we need, and I think that we need to take the breaks that we need. It's important that throughout that week, no matter how hard you work or what you're working on, stop. Breathe, smell the flowers, call someone, tell them you care about them, tell them that you love them. Don't say you love them if you don't. And always remember, everybody is not your friend.
That is true. You learn that more and more as you get older.
You do. Everybody's not your friend. Just remember, you have people that you know and people that are your close friends, you know, and some things you need to remain tight. Just for instance, if you're working on a project and you don't think that everybody's going to understand you, hold it tight until you get it together. Hold it tight. You don't have to, you know, share everything with everybody. Work on what you need to work on. Because I know when I started, the oppositions that I had, you can't do this. You're a woman. No woman has done what you're doing. You'll never get a job. This is not a real job. How are you going to make money? How are you going to survive? Now, here I am over 50 years later, and I'm still doing it. Whether I do it today or tomorrow or yesterday, I've done it for over 50 years. And I was the one that everybody said, you're not going to make it. So never give up on self. Never give up on your dreams. Never give up on your passion, because it was given to you because somebody knew that is higher than me that you could handle it.
I love that, Mimi. That's such great advice. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for, oh wait, do you want to give your Instagram handle and your Facebook?
On Instagram, I'm WDAS Mimi, M-I-M-I Brown. And then on Facebook, I am Mimi Brown. I don't have this color hair. I have to change that photo. I just can't figure one that I really like yet. And then on X, I am Capital Mimi Brown 3.
Awesome, Mimi. Well, I'm so impressed. You're a Philly icon. And I hope everyone else enjoys this interview just as much as I have. And God bless you.
Oh, God bless you, Jen. And thank you so much. Continue doing what you're doing because you're opening up doors of opportunity for people to learn. And it's so important because a lot of times we don't get a chance to hear what we need to hear at an early stage in our career of entrepreneurship or what it is that we're doing. Other thing I want to mention too, think about a manager. You know, a lot of people start out and you're by yourself and you don't learn everything that you need to learn. You need to learn what is important, documentation, copyright infringement, all these things you need to learn. So think about a manager and also think about getting a lawyer.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jen. And have a wonderful, wonderful Happy New Year.
Happy 2026. New Year.
Yay.
I love it. We need fireworks.
I know. Boom, bing, bing, bing.
Thanks again.
Well, that's it for now. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Please reach out to me so I can feature you on my show. I do respond to everyone. You can find me on my Instagram at Jennifer Sherlock or my business Instagram at JennaCom. And check out our new website coming soon, livewithoutanet.com. Thanks again, and I look forward to taking risks with you.